If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, there's a lot more going on than most realize. How aware are you? There's a lot going on, a lot more going on than most realize. How aware are you? Let's just be aware right now of this moment. Where are you within yourself? Take a deep breath and will yourself to center. Bring every level of your being present. Just quiet here and now. Wonderful. You say you can do that. It doesn't take a ritual. It doesn't take a long, elaborate prayer. You just decide that you're going to be present, and you are. So in this present moment, all is well. All is well. There's nothing in this moment, but that which you have brought forward to this moment. And you know there's no reason to bring anything to spoil this moment. Be aware that present moment is always perfect. It's always peaceful. You always have at hand exactly what you need in the moment. Future, we don't know. That's uncertain. But present moment is always the presence of your wholeness, of your holiness, and of the all that is. Now we can bring into this moment whatever we would have real. You know that you alone decide what you will have real, what you have endowed with reality. Do you realize you have complete control over what you have endowed with reality? You know there's no outside world apart from your own importing a concept of that world into your mind. Yeah, have some tea with that thought. Be aware of it, that you import into your mind by your thoughts what constitutes the world you live in. And be aware that every single person lives in their own self-created universe. Oh, there's a greater universe beyond the personal self, of course. Most of us have not imported a very pleasant universe, so thank God there's a greater universe, a greater creation, beyond our mental concepts of what we have assumed and adopted and imported and taken on from education and hearsay and indoctrination, and begin to find that which is true for you, that you know deep down inside as an unshakable place upon which you can stand. And it will be based on your own direct intuitive knowingness. Sometimes you have to dig a little to find it because we've been so conditioned and indoctrinated. But find a truly original, clean, clear thought that you haven't gotten from someone else, somewhere else, that's absolutely, unshakably so for you within yourself. And I'll give you a clue. It's completely without conflict. Whenever you're experiencing a sense of conflict, it's because you're trying to make someone else's importation into your mind more real than your own beingness. Above all else, be with yourself. Be true to yourself. Be true to your experience. Be true to your loving. Be true to your heart. And if there's a slightest bit of conflict, follow it to its source. And I'll tell you with absolute certainty, it's because it's somebody else's importation into your mind. So all these changes that we're going through right now are creating awareness. There's a good silver lining to every storm cloud, to every event. Be aware that we're in a dream field in which there are plays and scenarios of consciousness that are being reenacted. But they are really a virtual reality that is part and parcel of, again, what we have imported into our mind through theories, assumptions, hearsay, indoctrination, education. But if you were left alone, you were never indoctrinated as a child. You grew up on an isolated island with no media. You would be in the bliss of God. You'd be in the natural state of the mind, which is calm and quiet and unperturbed. Would you have had much advancement? No, probably not. You know why? Because we're down here in the plays of duality and contrasting pictures of reality, because that's how we find ourselves. We experience the contrast, the dramatic contrast, the black and white, the good and evil, the up and down, the joy and the sorrow, the pleasure and pain. All of these things actually assist us to find who we truly are beyond all of that. But we find it through direct experience and through contrasting episodes of which we get involved and identified with. And it's in finding our way through these labyrinths of consciousness that we find that self that is ever calm, ever centered, ever secure, and absolutely fearless. When you find the self, you'll find that you're absolutely fearless. So in the outer plays of consciousness that we're seeing right now, that involve the storms and the earthquakes and the terrorist catastrophes and events that are occurring all over this planet. People are becoming more aware. And people have decided that enough is enough, that they have a right to be free. You know, in actual truth, the greatest desire that we each have as a human being, believe it or not, it's not survival. No, no, no. It's freedom. The nature of the soul, of the spirit, of the self that you are, its very nature is ever-expanding life and absolute freedom. But the mind is not free. The mind is conditioned. And so it takes quite a while to sort yourself out to where you can find yourself in the midst of all the things that you've been taught. And you find, actually, that you turn the whole world upside down and you step free. You're realizing that everything you've seen is a conditioned appearance, an ideal, an assumption, something projected, but it has nothing to do with who you are that remains absolutely untouched. Nothing can touch who you are as an immortal incarnation, embodiment, extension of God. Through and through, you are divine, perfect and whole, right now. So it's freedom. It's freedom that's being breathed across the land right now. It's the desire for freedom that is rising up in all of these people that are rioting and fighting and picketing and protesting totalitarianism and authority and everything that would seek to confine us to another person's ideology, another person's political persuasion, another person's idea of the way things, quote, should be. The very energy that's coming in now is saying, no, I have a right to be free. I have a right to worship, to believe, and to express how my spirit inspires me to. And you know, when you are listening to that part of yourself that's true, you don't want to create crime. You don't want to create problems. You don't want to do things that oppose the harmony and the symbiotic relationship we have with all life. It's in rebelling against the constraints that we know are made up by some human being trying to lord it over and dictate to everyone else how it has to be. Who in the world gives people that kind of a chutzpah, a kind of gall that would make them do that? And we've allowed them for centuries. But that was the old paradigm. That was the Piscean Age. We're moving now into the Aquarian Age, which is community and communication and one humanity on one planet, cooperating, sharing, and enjoying life together, without boundaries and borders and nationalistic flags flying all over the place. Let's just have one flag, shall we? The flag for Earth, planet Earth. Let's just have one race, the race of humanity. Let's have just one religion, compassion, love. Let's have only one language, the language of the heart. We all know how to speak heart. All we have to do is smile at another human being, and you've opened friendship. You've extended friendship. You've extended that sense of oneness we all share, and you haven't said a word. Probably better not to say a word. Probably better just to speak the language of the heart. We all understand that. We all get that. Even an animal understands when you mean them no harm. And I've worked, you know, in the circus with every kind of a wild animal. But I've yet to encounter a wild animal that would attack you if you had no violence, no harmful intention at all in your aura. They will come in when you see yourself as prey, when you project fear, when you have a harmful intent to kill them or to harm them or to invade their space or to encroach in their natural domain. But they will not attack you if you are just present in your own core essence and not projecting on them. They're so sensitive to that. So people are realizing they have a right to be free and to enjoy life and to have the wherewithal that meets their daily needs. Why should people struggle for a morsel of food on a planet that's more than capable of feeding everyone? Everything in life is sustained by the planet naturally, except man. Why? Because man is very selfish. Man will say, no, this is my country. You can't eat my food. You can't cross my border. You can't come over here and live in my land. You can't work over here. This is mine. Oh, what an absolute dinosaur of a thought system. But it's falling away. It's falling away now. The younger generation is experiencing the effects of this new energy that's coming in. And this is what gives them the strength to change the old systems, which have imprisoned people. Today, the voice of realism is found among the young, free as they are from ideology, philosophy, and theory. And they are realistic about life and meet it as it comes. And that's the important thing, is to be present with life as it presents to you. People are trying all the time to manipulate the future. They go to psychics, they go to soothsayers and card readers and diviners of all kinds to try to manipulate the outcome to their advantage. That shows simply fear and cowardice, a lack of faith in oneself, well, let alone faith in God. I mean, you can't possibly have faith in God if you lack faith in yourself. Everything begins and ends within your own self. If you don't trust yourself, how are you going to trust God? If you don't trust yourself, how are you going to trust another person? You'll just project on them your same innate distrust in your own self. So above all else, get to know that self beyond your mind, beyond your emotions, beyond your little story, beyond your little problems, beyond your little family circle, beyond what you left in the schoolroom. Get to find that part. And when you find it, you'll find an absolute center of calm, fearless certainty, and a sense of joy of life. Well, you're just going to have to find it. But I can tell you from experience, it's unshakable when you found it. Absolutely unshakable. So we are seeing the end of political indoctrination and totalitarianism. The need of people for freedom, self-advancement, and self-determination should be worked out on a local level through participation. We've got to get involved on all levels in what's taking place on our planet. You know, if that's your level of reality, which it is for 99.99% of all people, they tend to identify themselves with their physical body, with the nationality in which their body was born, and with who and what they think they are as a personality, as a personal self. So we're speaking to you because that's where most of you are finding yourself. There's a tiny, tiny, tiny little percentage that are self-realized, that are fully awake. And when you're fully awake, all you see is love. Not that soppy, sentimental kind of thing that we parade off as love, no. It's a love so impersonal, it lets everybody be who and what they are. It doesn't want to change anybody, fix anybody, criticize anybody, judge anybody. It wants to celebrate everybody because it enjoys the diversity of consciousness expression. And it sees the innate oneness of all life, the innate divinity expressing through all form. That's an awakened person. And most of us are in and out of that state. We have our good days and our bad days. We have days when it's as if we had never, ever picked up a spiritual book in our life and we're just as ignorant as we can be. We forget everything and we go off to worry and fret about the future. Or worry and fret about some little nonsense thing that's going on in our life that we think is the end-all and be-all of our existence. If nothing else, meditation gives us a higher perspective from which to view our lives. If nothing else, it gives us perhaps some moments, hopefully longer than moments, in which we get up into the balcony of higher awareness and we can get a bigger picture of what's really going on. So, this is a message from Lord Maitreya, who was the master of the Master Jesus, and who overlighted and worked with him and through him for the 3 years of his ministry. Most people aren't aware of that. They think of Jesus Christ as the name of Jesus of Nazareth. But it's more accurate to say Jesus the Christ. Because each one of us is an instrument through which the master of our life operates through. Not in a form of possession, but like an overlighting. We're all familiar with Touched by an Angel, where the angel has that light that appears over her head, you know, during the television series, if you ever saw it, Touched by an Angel. So we get the idea of an overlighting presence that's influencing in a positive divine way that person's chela or disciple that is operating in the outer world. And that's how the masters have all worked for millennia. So in the case of the Master Jesus, it was the Lord Maitreya, also called the Christ or the World Teacher, who overlighted Jesus from the time of his baptism, when it said the Holy Spirit came over him like a dove. That was the overlighting of the Lord Maitreya over his disciple, the Master Jesus. And it was Jesus himself alone, or Lord Maitreya alone, or the combination of the two working together that accounts for the stories that have been collated and brought together in what we call the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Acts of the Apostles. All of that was part of what many, many fragmentary gospels and teachings that were not included in the Bible, but those were the four that seemed to cut to the chase and deliver the message the most accurately. The most accurate, I would say, of which was the Gospel of John, which, according to Helena Rorick and the Trans-Himalayan Masters, was actually written by, get this, Mary Magdalene. It wasn't even written by the man John. It was written by Mary Magdalene, according to them. And that would be interesting if that ever came out, wouldn't it? So anyway, the Lord Maitreya, at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, was going through what is called the sixth initiation of the ascension, at the same time that the Master Jesus, being crucified physically, was going through the fourth initiation of crucifixion. So you have the crucifixion initiation, the fourth initiation the Master Jesus was going through. At the same time, you have the Lord Maitreya going through the sixth initiation of the ascension. And then, of course, the, I would say, co-participation of the two of them during the resurrection. And we can go into that in another seminar, because I actually was given the vision of being present when that took place. And it was very, very profound. But this is what Lord Maitreya has to say. I need you all to share with me in the reconstruction of this world, to restore to men their faith and joy, to release the wherewithal to live to the needy of this earth, and so restore balance. My task is to show you the method. Yours is to act and implement my plan. I know I can trust and call on you. My love embraces all. And that's from Messages from Maitreya, message 76. And that book can be purchased through Share International. It's Benjamin Krem's work, the Scottish esotericist. Probably the definitely the foremost person to speak about Lord Maitreya and his emergence onto the planet. And I've spoken about him in previous seminars, but for newcomers, he emerged from his home in Shambhala, in the high Himalayas, in July, I think it was July 19th, 1977, and flew by modern airplane and deplaned in Pakistan, stayed there and acclimated for several days, and then entered the modern world and began living in the Pakistani section of East London in the UK. And as I've said in previous shows, I've had many experiences with him in his various assumed guises and forms, and one in his presence, as he physically is, when I was in London. So there's a lot going on that most people aren't aware of at all. A few things that recently happened I wanted to share with you. During the eclipse on August 21st, 2017, people in different areas of the United States to which the shadow fell over the United States during the eclipse, they were taking photographs of the eclipse. And on two of those photographs, spacecraft were filmed along with the eclipse. During the recent earthquakes in Mexico is another thing that I wanted to bring to your attention. Both times, flashes of green and blue lights were reported. Now, these came from spacecraft that were trying out a new technology. This new technology they hoped to use to minimize the magnitude of earthquakes. And it turns out that they were successful. That was the first time they tried it, and it greatly minimized, which was to have been a much more devastating earthquake. Not that that wasn't devastating. It was horrible as it was. But it would have been much worse if they had not tried out this new technology. And they were seeking to implode, as they described it, the energy of the earthquake, and hence that produced the flashes. So I guess we can therefore know that they will utilize this technology in future earthquakes worldwide, and thus minimize the intensity of the effect. We are going through a lot of this because of our actions. We're actually karmically creating the things that are going on, by and large, on the planet. How? Well, through the evil intention that we keep generating of wanting to destroy people and their lands and their families and their livelihoods and their nations. Why would any sane person want to do that? It's insanity. Why would we want to blow up someone's beautiful homeland and destroy everything? Why do we want to make our world ugly and violent? Isn't this barbaric? I can't quite comprehend where this kind of mentality comes from myself, and I know people from other planets can't either, other than the fact that we're very immature and we have advanced technologically and mentally beyond our spirituality to where we've lost a moral compass and a sense of empathy and compassion. And we reap exactly what we sow. So some of these horrific hurricanes are the result of the bombing that we've done in Afghanistan. The beautiful nation of Iraq, such a treasure trove of ancient, world heritage, precious artifacts, blasted to smithereens. Why? You know, it's interesting. The spiritual teacher of myself and many who listen to this seminar heard John Rogers say that he was puzzled when the 9/11 happened. He didn't understand why, you know, what went wrong. We were headed into the golden age. What's going on here? And he asked. And it was kind of quiet for a while. He didn't get any response. And then he kept asking in different ways and kept looking inwardly and looking inwardly. And finally it was revealed to him that the whole of New York was destined karmically for destruction. The entirety of New York City was destined for destruction. And through prayer and intercession and the many good things that people of goodwill and light have been doing on the planet, because of all of that, it was minimized to just those five buildings that went down. There were the two World Trade Centers, and then there were three other buildings that collapsed at that time as well. And instead of multi-millions of casualties, there was, which was horrible enough, the 3,000. But I'm just saying, people have no idea how effective prayer can be, how effective intercession and light work can be, how effective the right choices that each one of us make when we put aside the temptation to blast people with our ego and our anger and our arrogance, when we stop in mid-rant and choose to just align with our core essence, which is supreme peace, the deepest loving compassion. And so there's stuff like that going on all the time. And we're just not aware of it because we don't make the connection between our evil actions, our warring and our destroying lands, and then the earthquake that hits or the devastating storm that hits. So most of these storms are created by us, by our inhumanity to each other. And there's always a repercussion. You cannot do anything that does not have a reflection, a resound, and a mirroring back to you of exactly the same experience, energy-wise. So, we have to clean up our act, folks. There's no two ways about it. I found that the law of karma has no humor, absolutely none. You can't say something negative and evil and cutting and hurtful to another and say, oh, I was just jesting. Oh, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. Your motive was not pure. And so you will get that exact replay back in your own life in some form. There's no escaping that. Cause and effect is absolutely just. Absolutely, 100% fair and just. And it's automatic, it's not personal, it's not God doing it to you. It's a universal law that governs every single plane, planet, universe, and creation beneath the soul realm. There's no karma in soul, in the soul realm, the fifth dimension, or the fifth plane of consciousness. But in all of the realms and dimensions and planets and systems beneath that, you have the play of cause and effect. And there's no escape. Well, there is an escape. If you really turn around and devote your whole life with all your heart, mind, body, and soul to loving God and serving humanity selflessly, you will earn grace, and that lifts you above the law. If you can stay focused in soul consciousness, centered in the center of your head, back behind your eyebrow, you will, or your forehead, you will find the seat of the soul. And if you can stay centered there and not get down into your lower consciousness, you are above karma. But boy, I'll tell you, that's a 24/7 job of vigilance to stay there. And most of us, as I said before, go in and out of that, in and out of that all the time. So it's training every level of your being to keep consistent and aligned with the neutral, impersonal, loving, and peace of your true nature. The nature of the illumined mind is absolutely still, without thought, just pure witnessing awareness. You watch, you listen, but you're not attached into and identified with whatever's playing out in front of you. You watch life exactly like a parade. But not passively. Love is never passive. Never. An illumined, completely on fire with the love of God person can sit still and be active on every level of being and transforming and saving and uplifting all of humanity. So it looks outwardly like he's sitting quietly or she's sitting quietly, but that divine presence is omnipresent at that state of enlightenment. Now, you and I, we can be as active as we want in the world. Until we get to that state, what we will do is dedicate our actions. Do it for God. Dedicate it to the divine spirit. And then you don't get the karma. Then you do everything in God's name, but not as just, you know, people say all the time, in Jesus' name, and they don't mean a thing. It's just the flapping of lips, because the heart is not fully consecrated. So I guess we have to flap the lips and keep again and again reminding ourselves, we're doing this for you, Lord, not of myself. Of myself I do nothing. It is you who do all things through me. We have to keep repeating that until finally every cell of our body resonates with that truth and we can embody it. So anyway, we have the space people who are very, very present and active working with us right now. Very active. What they're doing, aside from neutralizing as much of the radioactivity as they possibly can to keep our planet viable until we outlaw all of this silly stuff, and until we really ask for help, because they will come and help and neutralize so much of the pollution. The biggest problems we have on a planet today is pollution, is the changes that pollution has wrought in our environment, the climatic changes that's affecting everyone on the planet, the growth cycles, everything, and threatening our very viability. But they can reverse all of that, every single bit of that, if we would give them permission to assist us. If we'd stop making these stupid movies about monsters and all of this stuff that's just pure Hollywood nonsense, and make real movies about real people who really care, who are higher evolved and more advanced spiritually. If they make a real film about Valiant Thor, which we're hoping very much to have the small film that we made hit the big screen, if we could have a real presentation of a real extraterrestrial from higher worlds like Valiant Thor and Lord Ashtar, if we could have films about that, we could quickly clear up so much of the fear that's being prevailed. Why fear? Well, people want to be in control and power. You see, it's the ego wants to be in control and power. So if it can keep us afraid, then it can maintain power on the planet. These are very immature souls, okay? Very, very young, immature souls that want to dominate, that want to exercise authority, that want to suppress. You know, they're fearful. They're living out of the lower nature. So, what to do? Well, send them light, for heaven's sakes, and pray that they awaken. Pray that they have something bigger than their little personal political agenda, that they can open their eyes and realize, you know what, you're depriving yourself of the very things that you truly want, and everybody else in the process. Why don't you wake up and give it up, get real, invite these higher evolved beings, and accept the gifts that they're willing to give us. But they do, and we do, and speaking on behalf of the Ashtar Command, have the ability to reverse the pollution on the planet, to neutralize all of the radioactivity, to get us back in harmony with the rest of the planetary family, the star nations. You know, it's a big family. So anyway, we all owe a tremendous shout-out of gratitude to the tireless efforts of so many beings from our galactic neighborhood who are doing all they can to help Earth's population make it through these Earth changes. You know, even this exchange between North Korea and the United States of America is positive because it's creating communication. And it's drawing this formerly reclusive nation to come out and join the rest of the global community. But I'll tell you, it's not going to happen if we keep taunting him and making fun of him and belittling him. It's only going to happen if we cordially and lovingly, with sincere goodwill, invite him and encourage him to come out and play. You know, he's just following his ideology that he's been indoctrinated into. He's trying to live up to an image that he's bought and has had projected onto him. So everybody wants to live. Everybody wants freedom. Everyone wants to express. But when you're in that little prison of egoic fear, you see everyone and everything as a threat to be kept away from you. To build walls so that they can't get in and steal your stuff or get your stuff. I mean, this whole mentality is back to an old paradigm that obviously we're being seen played out so in our face right now, we can't help but see how idiotic it is, how counterproductive it is. And yet it's serving an incredible good because it's showing us for the first time so bodaciously and in our face that you can't miss seeing it. I mean, if you really want to see it, you can't miss seeing how obvious it is. And that's such a wonderful thing because for the first time, I think, ever, we've had such a stark contrast between the old paradigm and the new that we would all have, which involves the sharing of this planet and the planetary resources with the world community. Now, I'm not talking about one world government thing, no. It's going to be a planet that is governed by groups of people that sit in as wise councils of elders. Ashtar gave us a directive back in 1994 that, or gave us a vision. He said eventually there will be 55 elders, men and women, in all these different regions and areas, the wisest of the land, and they will decide, like the masters do in council meetings, the steps that would wisely govern their areas for the highest good of all concerned. But they won't be political. They won't be party-oriented. That's part, again, of the old system. We have never seen true democracy. We've never seen true socialism. We've never seen true communism. We've never seen any of these in their pure state. And as we move into this new paradigm, we're going to find a complete shift away from the geopolitical system that has prevailed in the past, or systems, I should say, that has prevailed in the past. And you will indeed see councils of the masters and the wise elders of each land beginning to govern. And it all starts with the power again and again coming to the grassroots movements of the people who begin to implement new reforms and new systems locally that begin to catch on globally. And that's what we're seeing happen right now. And it's so good. It's so heartening. What happened in Las Vegas a couple days ago was very distressing to us all. And not that this is going to help anyone who lost a loved one or who is not really aware of what's happening behind the scenes, but I just wanted to tell you that I personally went up to look and check on these people to see how they were faring because it was a very abrupt exit from the body for many of them. And I wanted to tell you that many of them went to a very, very, very high state spiritually. Some of them, that was the greatest moment of their life because they were undergoing a very high level of spiritual choice. Many who actually became shields for those strangers, in many cases, and loved ones that they gave their own life to protect. These people went through a tremendous initiation and are in a very, very high state spiritually. The masters of the hierarchy who foresaw the possibility on the event horizon that this might occur were standing at the ready to take those souls immediately and assist them in their adjusting on the inner plane so they didn't go through the trauma that sometimes can ensue with a sudden exit from the body. There was none of that. The souls that experienced that went through it as part of a soul choice, as part of a sacrificial action. that they willingly participated in. Again, to bring to light that we are living out of balance on the planet, that people are in many cases at a breaking point because they don't understand what's going on and they don't know how to fit harmoniously into the system. Many people fall through the slats of the corporate awareness, let's say, because they don't fit in. They're loners. They're somehow not quite in sync with the society around them. And they get marginalized or get ignored, or people don't know how to interpret the symptoms and know how to help and draw people in. We all need a purpose. We all need to feel like we can make a contribution. Every single one of us wants to belong. We want to be connected. And when people don't have that, they go into substance abuse, they go into depression, they become suicidal, they become crazy. They go into a breaking point because they're not included, they're not loved, they're not seen, they don't feel like they're part of anything that has meaning. So every single one of us that's a teacher, a speaker, has a radio show, whatever it is that we do, we can use that platform to help people understand what's going on, not just the Illuminati and the cabal and all that negative stuff, which just makes us feel more helpless, more victimized, more paranoid, more miserable. Not that. That's not the message that's going to help people. What we need to understand is that we are embodiments of love. Love is the reason we're here, and we can only experience love when we're in relationship. It's relationship that enables us to give and receive love. And we're here to establish right human relationships and right relationship with nature and other life forms. And so by whatever platform you have, if you can get that message out, if you write, if you blog, if you tweet, you're on Facebook, whatever, share things that help people realize, you know what, we're all in this together. We're all rising together. We're all one soul. There's only one soul. There's not lots of souls. There's one soul. And we're all parts of that. Or call it Atma, it's more accurate. We're all part of that same spirit, that Atma. And we're here simply to not make such a big deal out of the conditioning that we've been conditioned into, but that we could break free of these prisons of ideology and nationalism and all the isms that we've bought into that separate us from being one race of humanity and one religion of compassion. And one duty here, one lesson here, which is to love and care for one another. You know, to cut slack for everybody. We've all got our human foibles. We've all got our little quirky patterns. I mean, that's the beauty of humanity, is that we're all so different. And yet underneath it all, we're one. And it's celebrating the difference without trying to fix it or criticize it or judge it or condemn it, but to celebrate it, appreciate it. You don't have to, you know, rub along with every single person, but you do need to recognize that they're loved. They're a creation of God. They're a child of God. They're an emanation of God. And as such, they deserve our respect, and allowing them to live and express in whichever way they wish, as long as it's not harming anybody. They have a right to be and do and speak and express as they do. So that's an important thing. The rest is just, it's just filler. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. The only question you will find your higher self ask you when you leave your body is, how much did you love? How many lives did you touch with your love? How much love did you embody and express in your life? And nothing else matters. Nothing else at all matters. Nothing. Nothing. The whole of this particular earth incarnational cycle has been to learn that God is love and God and I are one. That's it. That's the whole enchilada. So wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, and by the way, we're in a cycle in which we're going to have more and more of these storms, bigger and bigger ones. So you might want to think where you're going to rebuild, if you're going to rebuild. You know, these aren't going away for a while. Astrologically, and in every level that you look, you see that you're in a cycle in which climatic and environmental changes are going to be affecting every single person on Earth. No one is immune, and none will remain unaffected by what we have all contributed to creating. So now we need to work together with Maitreya and the masters that have externalized that are living in our modern world. We need to take their direction. We need to work with our brothers and sisters from other planets to invite them to assist us. And we need to have a council in the United Nations of the indigenous peoples who will supervise and govern all of the discussions we have on planetary stewardship. Everyone needs to listen to the native elders who in many cases have lived on their lands without pollution and without affecting the environment for centuries. We need to learn from them how to do that, how to live in harmony with nature and to cease polluting our planet with the lifestyle that we have chosen, which is completely out of whack with the natural environment and can't be sustained. So wherever you are, do the best you can to help the people around you to find purpose, to find community, to find connection, to get involved, and to participate in whatever level that they can to be part of what's happening on the planet. We all need a purpose. We all need to find that purpose and be involved in it. And it's always going to be a purpose bigger than just personal survival. It's going to be a purpose in which we are giving and feeding into and sowing into the lives of other people. It's only what we do for another person that gives us joy. That's a big secret in life. It's only what you do for someone else that's going to give you joy. And a real sense of self-esteem, a real sense of purpose, and a sense of being connected. So you all know where you are, what you can do to make that place happier and brighter, to instill more hope and faith, and to reveal the underlying happenings of what's really happening on the planet. We are evolving into a Christed race, and we will be mentoring younger civilizations and planets that are out there, just as we are being mentored and overseen by more evolved beings that are coming in to help us now. One day, we will graduate, and we will be the ones to go to other worlds and civilizations to help them. That's how it works. And so, those are some of the things happening behind the scenes. I hope this has been helpful to you. There's so much going on that's good, praiseworthy, noteworthy. And the one thing that's coming out of these catastrophes, which is so wonderful, is that we are dropping everything. We're forgetting nationalities and nations and ideologies and politics. We're forgetting all of that, at least at the time that we're confronted with a storm. We're forgetting that. And we're just there to help people. And out of that, you know, strangers are becoming loved ones. We're developing a sense of community. Every time there's a catastrophe, it's like there's a community that arises out of that, that's there, that's saving, that's helping, that's participating in these people's lives to rebuild and get it all together again. And it's marvelous. And it's been prophesied, at least by Mother Mary, that at some point we're going to be so busy dealing with these earth changes that we're not going to have time, money, or focus to wage war. Wouldn't that be a happy thing? We just won't be able to wage war. We'll be too busy trying to deal with these earth changes. And they'll be going on for a cycle, and then they'll be over fairly quickly, because we're moving into that new paradigm, that golden age of Prema Sai Baba, that golden age of Lord Maitreya, the golden age that we've all been praying for and looking forward to. It's right there. It's developing even as we speak. But first, the attention of humanity has got to be gotten by one form or another. And, you know, we have to confront our creations and deal with them. You know, we created them, we put them in motion, and now we're probably going to need some help to get out of them. And there are those ready and standing by to help us as much as we will allow without, you know, inflicting or infringing on our free will at all. That's never done. But do ask for help. Do ask for assistance. Lord Maitreya said, "My power is yours to command." So let's take him at his word and call him forward to openly appear so that we can know that he's on the earth. He can announce himself. He can't do that without our invitation. And let's get on with the golden age. Okay, shall we? So let's do one nice long Anahiu, and we will close the show for this evening with that. Deep breath. Anahiu. And to all the beings on this planet and throughout all of creation, may all be happy. May all experience the deep peace that is the true self. May all awaken to their divine beingness. Namaste.